Dad was a civilian guard for the army when they dismantled Camp Abbott. He sometimes worked all night, and I know one of his jobs then was to drive around the perimeter of the camp and check to see that nothing was getting in that shouldn't. If he worked during the day, we took his lunch down to him and stayed with him for a couple hours. He had a regular uniform and hat, and we kept his uniform clean and ironed, so he really looked wonderful. I think he enjoyed a lot of that time, as he saw a lot of people coming and going. Some would stop and visit with him, and he got a regular paycheck. I don't know what kind of money he made, but I'm sure it was fairly good pay at the time. While the war was on, there were also a lot of soldiers right outside the fence at the ranch. They had maneuvers, and a group would come in for just a few days, practice whatever they did, and leave, and another group would come. I remember that they had tank chases. They actually ran up and down the road between Thousand Trails and where Sun River is now and chased each other. It was so noisy, and I had to stay clear away from the road at that time. The dust was terrible, but I suppose it was a lot worse than those hot tanks. I remember that a soldier was run over and killed out east of Pilot Butte. He had been sleeping behind a log and was unaware that the tanks were out chasing, and we all felt very bad about that. The men who were there for that training usually stayed for anywhere from a couple of weeks to several months. Then they were sent away overseas, and they were the ones that built the bridges in the European theater of the war, especially in France and Germany. It helped win the war. Claude said that this was the 4th Corps that came to Central Oregon, and that there were 100,000 troops there at one time. Because those groups would come and go every few days, they buried all the foodstuffs that they had on hand so they could order another batch for the next group of soldiers coming in. Dad found out about that and said, "Don't bury that stuff." So they would bring us tins of meat and cheese, and we would take it to people who needed it. They also buried food that had been fixed for meals, but never eaten. And it was cooked in huge barrels on the cook stove. So Dad made a deal with them to have them bring it to the ranch and dump it into some barrels across the fence. Sometimes we went out to pick up the food ourselves with our truck. We had 2 barrels, I think, and they would fill them with the remains of meals, such as spaghetti and meatballs, stews, and other kinds of food. We bought about 50 or 60 pigs and fed them that summer with that food. One time, there must have been several dozen hard-boiled eggs in the food and it hadn't been peeled, and we tried to keep them from the pigs, as Dad thought it might not be good for them to eat the shells. We didn't lose any, so I guess we did okay. Dad always said the pigs ate better that summer than some of the folks he knew. Some of the things that I remember most about those years, from 1941 until the war was over in 1945, was how lonesome those soldiers were whom we saw all the time. There was only one other Army engineering camp in the USA at the time, and it was on the East Coast. So, what did the Army do but send the East Coast fellows out to Oregon and our fellows back to the East? It was the first time I had ever been around black men. They were very nice, and one day, 2 or 3 of them were hanging across our fence up by the barn, looking down at the river. So Dad asked them if they would like to come in. There were signs posted all over the perimeter of our ranch that said, "Off limits to all military personnel." And that meant no soldiers could come into camp. Dad said it was okay as long as he gave permission for them to visit. Of course they did, and then they wanted to ride the horses. Dad said they were just work horses, not for riding, but they didn't care. They asked if they could please ride them in the pasture. So Dad made a halter of rope for them, and they got on those old work horses and rode them bareback all over the upper rye field and had a ball. They just loved it. We thought it was all so funny. Some of the other soldiers came down and fished off of our big bridge. Dad made them poles from the willows and furnished them with hooks and bait, and they fished for hours. Dad knew how to treat them, as he had once been a soldier during World War I back on the East Coast in New Jersey and had been very lonesome. Dad kept me pretty restricted on the ranch when all this was going on. I could ride my horse Nellie around the fields, but wasn't allowed to go outside on the roads. One day, I rode down by the schoolhouse, and there was a soldier hanging across the fence. He asked me what my horse's name was, and I told him. I asked him what his name was, and he said, Hoyman. I said, Hoyman? And he said, yeah, Hoyman. Well, I finally figured it out that it was Herman. He was just from Brooklyn, New York, and I had never heard that accent before. My dad laughed a lot when I told him about Hoyman.